It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. We've got our voter's guide there, which can be a great tool as you are filling out your ballot. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. Great show planned for you today. Karen Levine, valued partner of the Kim Munson Show. She's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, is in studio. Karen, it is great to have you here. You look so bright and cheery.
Well, thank you. It's amazing what lack of sleep will do.
Well, you can't tell. It's great to have you here. We're going to be talking with Chris Cantwell in this first segment. He is another great partner of the Kim Munson Show. He is with Trans World Business Advisors. We'll get a read on what is happening in the small to mid-size business markets as far as buying and selling them, as well as the latest on the PPP loan forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You'll want to hear what's going on with that. In the second segment, Phil Covarrubias is a candidate for Adams County Commissioner. And we'll talk with him regarding what has been happening with Adams County, Tri-County Health. We've seen additional, more draconian rules coming out on this, Karen Levine. And so it will be good to talk with him about that.
Most definitely. The Denver Metro Association of Realtors has endorsed Phil as a candidate. And I had the privilege of interviewing him, and he's really a quality guy.
He really is. He's a small business guy. He's a Marine, mm-hmm. and it'll be great to talk with him. And then Carrie Gutierrez is running for House District 30, and she is running against one of the cruel 17. In our voter's guide, we noted there's 17 Democrats that voted to let people die alone. And we think that's beyond the pale. And Carrie's going to join us as well in the second segment. We'll talk to Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. And then Amanda DeVito-Parle, who is with the DeVito Dreammakers team with RE/MAX Alliance, will be joining us. When the kids ended up going to online learning, schools were closed, she and her colleagues jumped into action and came up with a really creative idea on how to get their kids educated. And she is a personal colleague of yours, Karen Levine.
She is, and she's my new business partner. I've joined the DeVito Dreammakers as of October 1. And Amanda is an amazing businesswoman, but she's also very creative, and the needs that she's been able to meet for her children and others is pretty creative and awesome.
And she has three small children. And because of that, when we get to the quotes, I was looking for creativity and innovation, the American spirit, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Producer Steve, always like to say thank you to you, this great team that I get to work with, and that's Producer Steve, Zach, Keith, Patty, and Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I thank each and every one of you listeners. You are each treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Go out and strive for excellence. A number of you have reached out regarding the questions on the judges, and I've gotten behind on those emails. I will be getting to those today. I don't have the broad picture throughout the state of Colorado answers on judges. However, the DCGOP.org, that's the Douglas County GOP.org, a friend of mine did an excellent analysis on the overview on judges. I would recommend that you take a look at that. I will be getting back with all of you within the next day or so. I have got some calls out to try to do some research. It's difficult, Karen Levine, regarding the judges to know whether or not to vote to retain or not.
Yeah, it is a difficult process, and there's not really a lot of easy avenues, which my husband and I have found, and then had a conversation with some other colleagues, and one of them in their household, she takes the stand. She just votes no for all of them, since most people are going to vote yes. So she goes, I'll just make it more challenging, right? And her husband does all the research, and so it'll be interesting. But it is a difficult part of our ballot.
It is a difficult part. And bear in mind, if by chance a judge is not retained, Governor Polis would actually appoint them. So there is some strategy to think about on this. Producer Steve, last night you were at the Voters Guide presentation that Rick Turnquest and I did over at Water's Edge Winery. It was a great group, great conversation.
It was, and also, and I would expect this, very educational. And it kind of had me grimacing in my chair because I realized that maybe I might have screwed up on a couple of my, ballot information. And, the votes I ended up putting out there, and leave it to you two to enlighten the way you did. In this case, it was Proposition EE. Yeah,
that's that nicotine tax. We're a strong no on that because it is a big tax increase, Karen Levine, on something that they say that would be that they want people to use less and less of. Therefore, it could be a declining revenue source. They're going to put in government programs that will be reliant on that. We think that ultimately that means that non-nicotine users will end up having to make up that difference. But the other thing is the taxes will go so high that it will create probably a black market, an illegal market. And the other thing is, and Patty brought this up, she said they're coming in and they're doing price controls. They do price controls here. What about rent controls, which would be devastating to the housing market here in Colorado?
Most definitely. And I think the conversation we had at our dinner table about EE is taxing vaping products probably makes sense. But as you noted, it took them 50 pages to do that. So there's other things in there that are probably not favorable.
And what you're talking about is the backup legislation that referred this this question to the ballot. And James Madison, one of our founding fathers, said, if the laws are so voluminous that people cannot read them, then we shouldn't pass them. And you're right. There is 50 pages of legislation backing this up. Just on that alone, we'd recommend a no vote on that.
And just to show how messed up things can be, did it come out yesterday that one of the cigarette manufacturers has already let it be known that they're going to challenge this in court? Now, that cigarette manufacturer is out of state. I don't know that there's a whole lot of manufacturing of cigarettes here in this state.
And what it is, Steve, it's the discount cigarette manufacturers that are challenging this, because the two big cigarette manufacturers, the two biggest, helped write the legislation. And in essence, when they put in the price controls on this, that will price your discount makers out of the market, and they're the ones that are suing on this. This is an example where big government and big business like each other. And we are a hard no on this for a whole bunch of different reasons. Before we get over to Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors, again, Karen, I was thinking of you and Amanda because just the creativity and innovation that you bring to your everyday life. And David McCullough is an American author. I think it's David McCullough, I should say that. He's an American author, narrator, popular historian, and lecturer. He is a two-time winner of the Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award, and a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the United States' highest civilian award. And he was born in 1933. He has written a book, The American Spirit, Who We Are and What We Stand For. And there was a treasure trove of quotes there that would really inspire you. But he says this. He said, the world needs you. There is large work to be done, good work, and you can make a difference. Whatever your life work, take it seriously and enjoy it. Let's never be the kind of people who do things lukewarmly. If you're going to ring the bell, give the rope one hell of a pull. I wish you the fullest lives possible, full of love and bells ringing.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I wonder what Chris Cantwell... I know what Chris Cantwell thinks of that. He is truly appreciates the American spirit. Did you like that quote, Chris Cantwell?
Absolutely. It's fantastic. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I am good. What is going on in your world, Chris Cantwell, over with Trans World Business Advisors?
Well, I'll tell you, Kim, things are still pretty rosy for us. We are still seeing a lot of transactions come together. We're probably back to more normal times after seeing a really big spike in activity where we were working on, I think at one point we were working on 33 to 35 deals, and we're kind of back to that normal range, 20 to 25 at any given time. So we are finding that there are entrepreneurs who are still looking to sell their businesses and people who want to become entrepreneurs and buy businesses and have a little more control and destiny in their lives rather than working for a big corporation. So glad to see that activity still out there.
And you are a specialist in helping people buy and sell businesses, getting them priced correctly, making it a win-win. You've got a whole team of people that can help you with that. The PPP loans, that has been a bit of a sticky wicket. A lot of people have questions about that. What's going on with that, Chris Cantwell?
Yeah, great question. So the SBA just released some guidelines for all those loans, $50,000 or less. There is a simple one-page, I guess it's an application for forgiveness, and it's down to just one page. And you don't have to do all these calculations that we're getting the banks and the bankers all hung up. It's come down to one page, and you just have to show some documentation that you used it in the right way. And it's not necessarily going to be audited in each and every case. The bank will look at it, and the bank will apply for the forgiveness from the SBA, and the SBA will pay the bank back. And then you are free and clear, but you could fall under an SBA audit when it comes time for taxes. So there's still some things that you want to make sure are perfectly aligned. And then it's just following back up with your bank, and the banks are starting to release some of those guidelines for the 50,000 loans and under $50,000. And then there's still some conversation out there for relief, and a simple, easy one-page relief for loans that are $150,000 or less. So there's some pending legislation that, if approved by Congress and the President, would provide a similar one-page PPP forgiveness request for all loans under $150,000.
Okay.
So there's some bipartisan support on that. We don't know if it'll be part of the next stimulus package or just a one-off kind of a deal. So we're hoping that'll come together and help these business owners out and these banks get back to owning money the way they're supposed to be doing it.
Chris Cantwell, what's your read? We have it about a minute. What's your thoughts on the election?
You know, I think the biggest thing are going to come down to taxes. And I think the Biden camp's got, you know, obviously they're going to go after corporations and raise taxes there, but they're also targeting the small business owners, and they kind of shelter it, and they, hey, if you're earning $400,000 or more, we're gonna raise your taxes. And it looks like they're going to do some things that could really hurt people when they go to sell their businesses. Right now, when a business owner sells, he pays taxes on capital gains and he pays taxes on ordinary income. And it depends on how the business sale works out with tangible and intangible assets. Your intangible assets, you're taxed at a goodwill rate or capital gains rate. And the Biden camp has said they want to raise capital gains to equal ordinary income, and
oh,
that would be significant on the sale of a business, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on a $1 million sale. So, you know, let's see how this all flushes out, but a little nervous on taxes and the targeting of small businesses and corporations.
Well, and individuals as well. Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management has done an analysis on the Trump tax cuts for everyday hardworking people. And that is at airpresidential.com. And everyday people, it wasn't just 2,000, it's significantly more. And people need to understand that their taxes would be much higher under a Biden-Harris ticket, Chris Cantwell. How can people reach you if they're interested in checking out buying or selling a business?
Yep, you can call me at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or find all of my information on the KimMunson.com website.
Most definitely. Chris Cantwell, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great morning.
You bet. Before we go to break, another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And every October, Hooters goes pink for the fight against breast cancer. This year, Hooters across the U.S. are working to raise money for breast cancer fundraising. Their goal as a company, not just Hooters Colorado, but their entire company throughout the U.S., they're hoping to raise $1 million. Karen, they raised $700,000 last year, and I know that this is near and dear to your heart because you have done a lot of fundraising for breast cancer awareness. And in fact, your mother, you lost your mother to breast cancer.
I did. I lost my mother in 1986. She was 58 years old. The beauty is because of research over that period of time, if she were diagnosed today, she would be a survivor.
You know what? You and I should probably go over to Happy Hour sometime.
We should.
We should do that. Anyway, they're doing a lot of fun pink things regarding breast cancer fundraising. So go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. We will be right back. We'll be talking with Phil Covarrubias. He is a candidate for Adams County Commissioner.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
The silent odorless killer, CO2. Your house has a monitor. Does your mask? Masks can actually be pretty dangerous, according to the National Institutes of Health. They say that inhaling high levels of carbon dioxide, CO2, may be life-threatening. OSHA does not recommend masks in oxygen-deprived environments, specifically elevations over 3,000 vertical feet. The mask mandate is not for your health. It's killing you. Killing you one breath at a time, thanks to selfish Governor Polis, paid for by FECUnited.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
When politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get your first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and our most recent podcasts. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And at the website is our voter's guide. Rick Turnquest and I did a very thorough analysis of each of the ballot questions. We have commentary on the growth and revenue for the state of Colorado and just what that looks like. Rick is really a numbers guy. That's excellent. We talk about the cruel 17 Democrat state legislators that voted to let people die alone. We explained this whole Emerge candidate training program, which is a far left candidate training program that is getting far left women, Democrat women elected. There's all kinds of information there. Thrilled to have in studio with me my friend Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and we'll be talking with another of your colleagues in the third and fourth segment, and that is Amanda DeVito-Parle. On the line right now with me is Phil Covarrubias. He is a candidate for Adams County Commissioner. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
I feel like I've gotten to know you better and better. You and I did a podcast last week, which is at my website, kimmunson.com. Really had an in-depth conversation about who you are, Phil Covarrubias. You're a Marine, a small business owner, a father, and you've stepped up to run for Adams County Commissioner. And you've been concerned about secret meetings that have been occurring by some of the politicians up in the North Metro area.
Yes, and fortunately, we've had a few good mayors up here that have actually pushed back on some of the secret meetings, and they're allowing the rest of us to see what's going on by live streaming the meetings on Facebook. So we do have a few of them that
you know, have some guts that are pushing back against the rest of the commissioners and Tri-County Health and that sort of a thing, which is a good thing.
Well, and Tri-County Health, it was interesting. They were having meetings with these electeds in the north, or these politicians in the north metro area. And then a few days later, we see that there's some more draconian rules that are coming out regarding shutting down businesses. And I know you're super concerned about that, Phil Covarrubias. Phil Covarrubias, I've been practicing that.
No, that's awesome. Well, the problem is that the Democrat Party, starting with the governor and the CMG, continue to keep moving the goalposts. At first, it's flatten the curve, make sure the hospitals aren't overran, that we have the ventilators and the therapeutics and everything that we need. And what we have found is that the hospitalization rates are very low, and even the mortality rates are low considering the number of people that are in Adams County. And God bless anybody suffering from this disease or anything else, for sure. But the problem is that they will tell you how many cases they've had since April, but they won't tell you how many people have recovered. Out of 513,000 people, we've had a total of 239 deaths in Adams County. And in Brighton, where I live, we have 50,000 people, and currently there are 5 people in the hospital with COVID-19. So it when you go from hospitalization rates to cases, and then the more you test, the more cases you have, it seems to me that they're just using COVID-19 as an excuse to have total power over the American people.
And that is something that we need to walk back, Phil Covarrubias, and that is why these local elections are so important. I'm recommending that people adopt a candidate. I know that you are adoptable, meaning people can help you. They can send you some money. They can work with you these next 2 weeks. We're 2 weeks out on election day. How can people get more information about you, Phil?
You can go to my website at philforadco.com and look at my bio. And also there's a donate button. And look, we really have a wonderful chance of winning this for the first time in a long time in Adams County, getting a Republican in the seat. But I do need your help. I need the help for the last 2 weeks so that we can continue to put our advertisements out there and everything. So that's philforadco.com.
That's philforadco.com. Phil, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Kim. Appreciate it.
We're going to jump over with Carrie Gutierrez, and she is running for House District 30 here in Colorado. And her opponent is one that Rick Turnquest and I have noted as one of the cruel 17 that voted to let people die alone. On that issue alone, I would certainly recommend a vote for Carrie Gutierrez. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Carrie, what is your district? What area does that entail?
So House District 30 entails the east part of Thornton, the south part of Brighton, the northern part of Commerce City, like the Reunion area. There's Henderson in there, the small part of Brighton, all the way out to Bennett. So parts of Bennett, parts of Watkins, and North Aurora. So it's very diverse, and it's a very large area.
It's a rather large area. Why have you decided to throw your hat in the ring to run for House District 30?
You know, we've lived out here for a little over 20 years, and when we first moved to this beautiful state 24 years ago, we were still red, and we still had our rights, we had our freedoms, and it was a different environment in the state of Colorado. We moved out here for the beauty of it. We have horses, we live on a ranch. My husband is an avid hunter. He's taught our sons to do the same, and just the beauty of this state, and I've seen that the last how many years that's deteriorated, become to head left. And I worked in the Senate in 2017. Actually, I was at the Capitol in 2017, and that's when we still had some balance of power. But then as that shifted, you're starting to see this move in our state, and it's just concerning of what the left is trying to do. So, yeah, I had a pull in my heart, and I prayed, and I decided to take this step, and here I am now, so...
Well, and I had made a note that your opponent is one that Rick and I are calling the Cruel 17. I really think Blue Dog Democrats to independents and unaffiliated and libertarian and Republicans and conservatives across the spectrum, when you look at this, and we're talking about there was legislation that was put forward by Tim Geithner, who is a representative from El Paso County, that no one should die alone during the COVID-19 pandemic. And that passed unanimously out of the state Senate, but actually 17 House Democrats voted against that. They voted that people could die alone. That is just cruel to me, Kerry Gutierrez. That's one of the big contrasts I see between you and your opponent. What else are you seeing that is a contrast between you and your opponent?
Well, she tried to pass, went forward in trying to pass legislation this session regarding defunding our school resource officers. And I don't know why she would do something like that. That is just horrible. I mean, her stand from that to, you know, backing our blue, that's where we differ, the Second Amendment rights. I worked for Engage America in 2017 to secure our Second Amendment rights. That is very important to the people of this country, this state. And as far as where she stands with abortion, I mean, there's just a complete difference with the way we lean in our views.
Okay. Kerry Gutierrez, how can people help you? I'm recommending 2 weeks, my friends. Don't sit on your couch. If you're sitting in front of your computer, just be recommending to your friends who to vote for, and that would be your Republican conservatives. Kerry Gutierrez, how can people adopt you? How can people get more information?
They can go onto my website at KerryGutierrezHD30.com, and my Facebook page is Kerry for House, and there's a little button on there they can tap. It's with Anna.net. It's a secure place to donate. And thank you so much, Kim, for having us on here, because my opponent actually just got endorsed by Biden. When she first ran in 2016, she was endorsed by Obama, and she was funded by Soros. So I'm pretty sure there's still Soros money in there, Planned Parenthood, the CEA. They have all endorsed her, so she has big money, and I'm going on prayers and donations for my constituents and people that are supporting me.
And it takes hard work, but hard work,
yes,
I think, can outwork that money, but it's difficult. So I know you are very adoptable, and that is Kerry Gutierrez, HD 30. One more time. I didn't get that.
Oh, you're fine. Okay. Kerry Gutierrez, HD30.com.
Okay, got it. Kerry, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Kim. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, does it not give you a lot of heart to see these candidates that are stepping forward because they care so much about our state?
Well, it does, and it's good to see a lot of folks coming that aren't politicians, too, Kim. Normal, everyday people that want to throw their hat into the ring. I think definitely they've got some good strength. I wish they could get a little bit more exposure. That's always the difficult part, especially in these local races against an incumbent. But God bless them for getting in there and putting up the good fight.
Most definitely. What about the markets? Let's jump over to that. What happened with the markets yesterday?
Well, you know, if one thing became clear yesterday, it's that the market wants another stimulus package. It was just kind of plugging along until, you know, it seemed to become apparent by a ultimatum or a deadline put out by Nancy Pelosi that it didn't look like we're going to be able to get a stimulus before the election. Donald Trump also came out with a tweet that said Nancy Pelosi doesn't seem to want a stimulus, and the market started dropping pretty much from that moment, Kim. I believe, you know, we were up at one point. The market reversed. The Dow ended up down about 400 points. NASDAQ ended up down 100 and some points. So that was a temper tantrum over the thought of not getting any stimulus.
You know, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, one of the great ways for people to receive a stimulus is for government to take less of their money.
True.
And the Trump tax cuts, and the Harris-Biden, Biden-Harris ticket has come out and said that they would repeal the Trump tax cuts. They've not said what they'll replace it with, but those Trump tax cuts, you have proven it, have actually put more than $2,000 in everyday hardworking people's pockets. And the analysis of that is at our landing page together, airpresidential.com. We've got 2 weeks. We need to be talking with our friends and our family. When people talk about the Trump tax cuts, that it was only for the millionaires and billionaires, you have proven that that's not the case.
Well, I appreciate that, Kim. Again, there's some things that are hard to prove in black and white. The Trump tax cuts are not hard to prove. All you have to do is compare the year before when we didn't have them to the next year when we did. You look at the same income, you look at a standard deduction, and what is the bottom line? And there you go. There's no flim-flam. There's no smoke and mirrors. It's just math. It's just numbers. And the truth is right there in front of your face.
I'd recommend that people check that out, Jason McBride. And you can find that at airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. Jason, very quickly, what's the futures look like this morning?
They're a little peaked. Right now, they're up about 88. We have had a couple of good, economic numbers that have been a little better than expected. That helps. But, after a 400-point beating yesterday, hopefully we'll get some more traction than that today.
Okay, we will talk to you tomorrow, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. And, again, that is AIRpresidential.com. We will be right back. In studio with me is another valued partner, and that is Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And your colleague, your new business partner, Amanda DeVito-Parl, is on the line. I can't wait to talk with her, Karen. It sounds like she and her colleagues came up with a really creative way to educate their children.
They did, and it's just exciting. It's what America has been built on, which is ingenuity and creativity, and these guys filled a gap for their children and their education. So I'm excited to hear as well.
You won't want to miss this. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, KimMunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcast. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And the voter's guide that Rick Turnquest and I put together regarding the Colorado 2020 election is there as well. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Amanda DeVito-Parl. And she is the founder of the DeVito Dream Makers team with RE/MAX Alliance. We're going to be talking with her about the creativity and innovation, the ingenuity in getting her children educated. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Good morning.
I have to give a disclaimer. Amanda,
yes.
I blew it in our weekly newsletter. We highlighted you and said you were going to be on the show, and I misspelled both of your names, and I have to apologize. For all those on the list, it's Amanda DeVito-Parl, and I just wanted to clarify that, Amanda.
Oh, no problem, Kim. Thanks for clearing that up. But I have two last names, so I started out giving you a hard layup anyway.
Well, Karen Levine, you are colleagues. Karen, tell us a little bit about Amanda.
Well, Amanda is equally a award-winning RE/MAX Alliance realtor, and I have had the privilege of joining the DeVito Dreammaker team as of October 1. Amanda and I have known each other for many, many years. I think maybe since Amanda was 10, maybe a little earlier, maybe a little later, but she is a very wise businesswoman. She cares about her clients. She is outstanding in the fact that she is creative and she looks at solutions. She's a problem solver, and I'm just excited to be a part of her team, and I'm excited that she's on your show today to share what she's been doing in education.
Okay, Amanda, let's jump in here. First of all, how can people reach you, Amanda?
Oh, well, you could find me at www.devitodreammakers.com. You can also call us at the office, 303-456-2111.
Okay, great. Okay, COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. All kinds of stuff is going on with the economy, with education. Mm-hmm. You have three small children. Tell us what was happening with you and your family.
Well, like everybody who had small kids, we all got shut in together. And, you know, it was a kind of a bittersweet time in a way, because this was the first time ever that I had had some real time at home with my kids. You know, as a working mom, that can feel like a lot of pulls in many directions most days. And so at first it was kind of like, hey, this is okay. You know, listen, gosh, I got the kids here and my husband's here and we're home and nobody's running around. Of course, that was laced with fear and you know, this fear of scarcity. And so, and, you know, I had staff at the office, and so I sent everybody home to work, and we were doing our thing. And after a couple of days of that, you know, I was like, God, when do these kids go back to school?
Speaking of that, during this whole thing, I saw a meme, and it said, I saw my neighbor out in her driveway the other day scraping off my child is an outstanding student at whatever elementary school off the back of her bumper.
Off the back of the car, yeah. So, and actually the big kids did really good. I have a almost nine-year-old daughter and a six-year-old son, and then the little guy was three. Most of the spring, he turned four over the summer. And so, you know, it was like we joked that we had this feral toddler running the house. You know, the big kids could kind of were pretty self-sufficient, but the baby was into the toothpaste and he was, you know, climbing the walls. And it was like, oh my gosh, we have got to find something to do. So in, you know, after things sort of broke up a little bit in early June, two of my business partners and I both have really little school-age kids, first, second, and third graders. And so my business partner, Val, and I looked at each other and says, we should hire a teacher. And we kind of laughed about it. You know, we were elbowing each other like, ha, we should get a teacher. And then that sort of turned a little bit more serious because, as Karen described, I'm sort of an initiator or a doer. And I turned to my admin and I said, hey, can you pull together a job description for a teacher? And I think I'm going to just put this out to the universe. And so in late June, they announced that they were going to send the little guys back to school. K to five was going to go back 100% in person. And at 4th of July, a neighbor of mine and I were visiting in the side, you know, out on the sidewalk. And she said, you do realize we're not going to have a meaningful school year, right? And it was like, what? What do you mean? Oh, come on. Like, we're going to have a meaningful school year. Like, so much of 2020 has just been this, like, these epiphanies all over the place about change, you know? And so that Monday after 4th of July, I looked at my husband and I said, I don't think I'm sending these kids back to school. What do you think? And he goes, nah. He said, let's do the teacher thing. It's a great idea. So I put a job description together, posted it on Indeed, and we were off to the races.
What was this teacher description, Amanda DeVito Parle?
Well, it was what you would expect. It was a job for a teacher. It was, you know, an educator. We were looking for a young primary education teacher. We ended up or landed on a charter school teacher. Her name is Kelsey Byers. She's absolutely fantastic. And Kelsey is here working for our seven families. My business was able to sort of have the infrastructure set up to hire her as an employee, and it put her on payroll pretty easy. And I, you know, paying for her health insurance and stipends and bonuses, and put her in a total comp plan like a teacher would. And I mean, to be honest, the wages she was earning as a public school teacher were something, you know, that the school could really handily afford. It was easy for us to afford it when we put a bunch of families together. And so we start building a budget, and we started figuring out how we were gonna bring kids into the classroom. I have a loft and a secondary bedroom and bathroom upstairs that sort of make up what is kind of the one wing of the upstairs. I call it a wing, but you know, the one side of the house. And we had a real breezy loft up there with hardwood floors. And I said, you know, we should just turn this loft into a classroom. Ha ha ha. You know, it was like the whole time we were just sort of like the next thing sort of fell into place. And so we got tables and chairs and the desk and whiteboard and couches. And we communitied all of our books. And the next thing you know, we had a classroom. And so from there, we did end up hiring. We brought a parent group together that wasn't necessarily our final parent group, but it was some people who were interested at the time. And we interviewed three final candidates the 17th of July. And if you were involved in this, you remember about that week, things started to unravel with the public schools. A lot of, you know, swirling conversations about how they were going to execute the actual return to school for these kids. And so at that point, my arm felt so long it could reach my own back for a pat, you know. it was beginning to look like we needed to do this. And so got the teacher hired, and then I started recruiting. I'm not really a natural recruiter, but I am a businesswoman. And so I started making calls and putting posts out to my neighbors and my friends and saying, you know, I have spots available for first, second, and third graders in a social club. You know, I mean, technically it's a micro school, but I'm not really running a school. I mean, it is a school, but we jokingly call it a social club because, you know, because the parents are getting together, they're helping out, chipping in, the kids are happy to be here, the teacher is educating the children, but these kids are all homeschooled. So we did formally pull them from the district. So they are truly homeschooled kids. And we found a curriculum, which turned out to actually be one of the harder parts of the endeavor, was to find a curriculum that really matched with my values, which are values I share with Kim and Karen. And so, you know, finding something that I felt like was a good fit for the teacher to teach and the kids. And then I got to do it my way. We say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we say a little prayer at mealtime, and we take breaks when we need to, and we make pie, and we ride bikes, and we order the Kona ice truck. And we do all sorts of other things in addition to educating, but and we're being safe. You know, we're temping in and keeping a log of people in and out of the house. And the kids are just actually fantastic. It's turned out to be really marvelous. And I think the ticket to all of this, or sort of the winning strategy, is a good teacher. And she's been absolutely fantastic.
It always is, Amanda DeVito-Parle. We're going to go to break. Karen Levine, and your business partner, is in studio with me. Before we do that, though, another one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They are a family-owned business, and knives have been around since the Stone Age for good reason. They're functional, durable, and they're versatile, and they're an essential part of the All-American Toolkit. So whether you're a hunter, an angler, an outdoorsman, a military personnel, a collector, Castlegate.com is the place to go to check out their wider range of knives from the best blade makers throughout the world. Karen Levine is in studio. We have Amanda DeVito-Parle on the line. Creative solution to educating her children. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Karen Levine, a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show and a RE/MAX Alliance Realtor. We have on the line Amanda DeVito-Parle, and we're discussing how her and many of her neighbors and colleagues came together to build the Dream Academy and educate their children. Amanda, thanks for being on the line.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So one of the questions I had, Amanda, is what does the student's day look like at the Dream Academy?
Yeah, so the kids can arrive anytime between 8 and 9 a.m. School starts at 9. We temp in, and they check their bags and shoes at the front door. They have Chromebooks and journals. And so the first part of the day, the kids are doing some journaling and some gratitudes in the morning. They're setting out an intention for the day, so they set a goal. And they also set an intention for something kind they can do that day. And so that's the very first thing they're doing in the morning, is kind of settling in and doing some quiet downtime. And then they dive into the academics. She's really breaking the kids up. We have 4 first graders, 2 second graders, and 2 third graders, lots of girls. We're a 6 girl ratio to 2 boys. And but it's pretty good. You know, the boys are a little wild, so I think the girl heavy school is probably good. So and then they break into, you know, into small group by grade/ability. And so they'll break into math or literacy. They'll break into, just doing some reading, read alouds. And then they're just kind of doing some real heavy academics straight away after their journaling. They take a break. My husband works from home, so he'll give the teacher a break, take the kids outside for a short break, 10, 20 minutes or so in the morning, and they can play at the playground and they can run around outside and just burn off some steam. And then they have a snack at that time. And then they go back upstairs and kind of go back into their curriculum again, working in small groups or together with the teacher. She's been really excellent at sort of juggling the kids' ability and teaching to their ability. And then they break for lunch. Sometimes a parent comes and helps with lunch. We have a hot lunch Fridays. And so one of the parents in the parent group comes and does a hot lunch Friday here at our house, and the kids love that. It breaks up the week for them a little bit. And we're going to do Halloween parties. They've got a little Halloween presentation put together for us, and we'll do a little Christmas play. And so they're doing and practicing some of those things during the day. They do PE on Mondays and art on Tuesdays. They do music on Wednesdays and life skills on Thursdays.
Do you use a lot of electronics, or is it paper, pencil, chalkboards? What's that look like, Amanda?
Yeah, it looks a little bit like both. We felt like it would be not serve the kids well, sort of take technology away from them altogether. But this wasn't much of my decision to homeschool the kids was in an effort to get them away from more technology. And so they do have Chromebooks, but they do a lot of little math problems on it, and they do, you know, some reading on it, but they aren't using it intensively during the day. It's just a tool. And then for the most part, they're doing a lot of work with a pencil, like school-age children should.
Most definitely. We have done research on this, and many of the people that work in the tech industry out in California actually are sending their kids to schools where it's paper, pencil, chalkboards, which I think is really important. Patty pulled a couple of different headlines because you were going to be on the show. And let's see now, where are they? One of them was that in Jeffco, that they have been using a discredited curriculum to teach kids how to read. I'm not sure that regarding curriculum, I want kids to learn to read, and we are seeing really dismal results. They said only about 41% of Colorado third graders can read well, according to the most recent state test results. In Jeffco, the rate is 46%, but the district ranks lower than the state on another measure that reflects how much students improve from year to year. That statistic is very troubling. I love to read, Amanda DeVito-Parle. I always read as a child. I read consistently. And when kids don't know how to read, that is a travesty. And then when I look at the amount of money that we are spending on education, it just doesn't match up to me, Amanda. What you're doing is so creative.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually it's only costing us about $8,200 per kid per year to educate them privately here at the house. Now, there's no facility charge in that, so we're using my home. But, you know, for $8,000 a year, in theory, you can hire a professional teacher and educate your kids. Yeah, I just think the reading is so crucial, too. We're doing a ton of it. We have a whole reading room, a couch with a table and some beanbag chairs and bookcases full of appropriate age books. And I just recently watched another little clip that said, if you want to save your boys, keep them reading. And so that was kind of an interesting concept, right, that our kids are so glued to this technology. They want to watch YouTube and they want to play these video games. And they don't want to just go curl up with a book. I mean, even when we were kids, there just wasn't this mass amount of options for technology. But now they're just so drawn to it. And I see my kids like little suckers. They're just pulled right to the technology. And it just takes a real concerted effort on our part to pull them away.
It really does. And Karen Levine, Dr. Ben Carson, who is now the head of the House and Urban Development Department, as a kid, he was getting into trouble. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Gifted Hands, but he ended up, his mother was cleaning houses, and she was cleaning the house for a new employer and saw all these books. She said, have you read all these books? And he said, most of them. She came home and she turned the TV off for Ben Carson and his brother, and Ben Carson became a brain surgeon. She said, you're going to go to the library and you're going to give me a book report. And Ben Carson became a brain surgeon. His brother became a successful engineer. Reading really matters, Karen Levine.
Well, reading does, and I'm challenged by reading. I have a desire to be a good reader, but I fall asleep many times when I choose to read.
It's her extroversion.
Extroversion
is in her way.
It is. But it's interesting, as we talk about the day, Amanda, what came to my mind is, how do you guys handle science? Because I loved science. And I just, you know, that's kind of where our creativity can come out as well, aside from, you know, art and music. And so I was just curious.
Oh, we're finding things to do. You know, I've gone kind of easy on the teacher. She's got a heavy load. And so, you know, where she can make things work, she's making them work. If they, you know, they head outside and they go look in the open space for something, or she'll drop a Mentos into a Diet Coke, or, you know, they're doing these kinds
right.
of things. I mean, you know, so they're kind of trying to make it work. She's kind of winging it as she can and doing whatever she could do. And she just reaches out to the parent group and says, hey, for an experiment, I need a bag of marshmallows. Can somebody bring me a marshmallow? And then they find ways to be creative, and she's working it out. And, you know, like you said, we've got engineers and doctors and bankers in the group and musicians. And so it's interesting, you know, the parents will come and they'll strum a guitar and sing with the kids, or they'll come and, you know, participate and help in any way they can. It's been really a beautiful thing.
I want to come to school at your school, Amanda DeVita Parle.
It yes. sounds awfully
the
fun.
Dream Academy. Thank you.
Question. I find this intriguing. You said, I'm thinking of these little kindy through third graders, and I love that age. That you said that they come in at 9 o'clock, they put their bags up, they have their journals, they do some gratitude, and then they talk about their intentions. Have you had a chance to see, what does a little kindy say is their intention for the day?
Oh, yes. I mean, and they're so cute. They're developing wonderfully, too. Like, in the first week of school, they would write, like, one sentence. And my third grader is writing and writing and writing and writing now like crazy. So that's been one really glorious thing to see. But it's cute. It's like, I'm going to help turn around the swing today. I'm going to find three rocks and paint my favorite words on them and give them as a gift. Or, I mean, they're just very sweet and basic, right? Like if us adults could all remember just to go back to a single basic each day, it would be such a valuable little lesson. Is I'm just going to help my friend, you know, get on the swing. And so that's their goal for the day. You know, it's so sweet.
My father, actually, he rode a horse to a one-room country schoolhouse. And he has a high school education. My grandmother had an eighth grade education. And I would recommend that people go to on the web and look up the Saline County eighth grade test from 1890. I think there's PhDs that could not answer many of those questions. And I realize that was a great education. My dad, high school education would quote a Shakespeare to me. And so these little pod schools, I think, can do amazing things, Amanda DeVito-Parle. It sounds like that's the case. You've got about a minute left. What is the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today, Amanda?
Well, you know, only that this is probably a one-year endeavor for me, unfortunately, but I am starting to contemplate what the next step is for the education of my kids. Is it charter schools? Is it public school? Is it private school? Do I really want them to get some of the content that they're pushing at the public schools moving forward? And so I think the challenge is we do this and we get this little glorious year with the children, and then what? And so I think, you know, we've got a challenge ahead to figure out what the future for our children looks like. And it's going to be a very interesting year for us here, and then some decisions to make next summer to figure out what we're doing next.
Well, I love the creativity and innovation of what you have done here. I've got a great quote at the end of the show. Amanda DeVito-Parle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome.
And Karen Levine, it is always a treat to have you in studio. We've been longtime friends. You've been a great supporter, a great friend of the Kim Munson Show, and I greatly appreciate you. And how can people reach you?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516. And now they can go to the DeVitoDreamMakers.com and check us all out.
That's just great. So thank you for being here. And our quote for today says, it might never, this is from David McAuliffe, the American spirit, who we are and what we stand for. He said, it might never have happened. That's among the most important lessons of history and of life. There is so much around us that might never have happened were it not for a host of qualities called imagination, commitment, courage, creativity, and determination in the face of obstacles. That maybe most of all. Love that, huh?
Love it.
Okay, my friends today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Out into